If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
It's the Rhythm of the City, 94.3 WYBC. Juan Castillo with you. This is the Electric Drum. Now, this morning, we have a family in the building. You know, WYBC is all about promoting families in our community, families that are doing great things in our community, you know, working with their kids. So often, people, you know, focus on the fact that some of the problems that we have in our community is based on the fact that, you know, parenting skills are not really what they used to be, and the fact that, you know, families are not paying attention to their kids and so forth and so on. So what I want to do today is I want to focus on a family that is the opposite of that. They really are focused on their family, on their kids. They support them. And I have with me the Staggers in the building. I got Carlton Staggers. Dad, how you doing, bro?
How you doing?
All right, and I got Corey Staggers. How you doing, man?
Pretty good.
Now, this is the guy that, you know, has got all the talent in the family. So we're going to be talking to him a lot, you know, about what he does. And I got Mom in the building, Monique Staggers. How you doing, Monique?
I'm good today. Thank you.
All right. So you're going to have to speak a little louder. I know you. Are you shy like this? You'll probably be screaming and yelling at y'all at home, right?
All the time.
There you go. So let's start with you, Carlton. You know, tell us about yourself and your family a little bit.
Well, my name is Carlton Staggers. I'm 49 years old, and I have five children. Courtney, 26, CJ, 24, Corey, 20, and twin girls, Kayla and Camille, that are 18.
Wow. That's and some of them out of the house, though, right?
Courtney graduated from Niagara University. Wonderful. CJ graduated from Southern Connecticut, right. And Corey's a junior at Western. and Kayla and Camille are about to graduate from Hill House, and Kayla's committed to go to Fairleigh Dickerson for basketball, and Camille's undecided between Albertus Becker and Fairleigh Dickerson.
Playing
basketball.
Too?
Yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's great. That's great. So tell me about yourself. You from New Haven?
Yes. Born and raised in New Haven. Work at Marrakesh. Been there for 15 years. And I'm also alderman for New Haven as well, too, for Ward 30.
Okay. So what school did you go to?
Hill House.
You went to Hill House.
Yes.
All right. So tell me about your family. I mean, you know, what makes your family tick?
The mother, she's crazy.
the quiet one in the studio right about now.
The one thing we're about my family is we're real close. We're real supportive of each other. During the holiday times, like, we're a firm believer of trying to be together. It's crazy because I live next door to my father. From my mother and father, my mother passed away like 3 years ago. Okay. So like Christmas time, Thanksgiving, New Year's, Easter, like we always go to my father's house and we have dinner together, you know, and we're just really supportive of each other, like wonderful. All the way around. Like anything right. We do, we support each other 100%.
That's great. So now, Monique, how did you meet this guy? What was that day that you saw him and you said, there's a little something about this guy. talk about that a little bit.
Actually, it took a little time to get to even like him, but, you know, we went out on a few dates. I enjoyed his company, and eventually, you know, we took it further.
Where did you guys meet?
Through a mutual friend.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So did you go to the same high school?
No, I'm a graduate of Hamden High School.
You're from Hamden.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when Hamden plays Hill House, you know? What happens?
Hill House.
Yeah, Hill House.
Now tell me about, you know, parenting. Tell me, I mean, you got a lot of kids, right? You know, yeah. That's difficult enough as it is, you know. Tell me about, you know, what happens when, you know, the kids were growing up, and of course they still growing, right? And they never stop anyway, right? It's still,
right.
You know, but tell me about the parenting. Tell me about how you guys parent your kids.
Well, as everyone knows, parenting isn't easy. Yes. And I truly believe it does take two parents. You know, so if you have one, you have to do what you have to do. But Carlton's a big asset with the kids, and he's an excellent father. So we communicate as far as the kids and try to, you know, arrange our schedules around them and get them to where they need to be. Not only our kids, but other children, too.
Mm.
So, you know, we just arrange our schedules and we just work it out.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Who's the disciplinarian?
Neither one of us, to be honest, are really good at it. But our kids aren't that bad. So when we have to discipline.
they're laughing.
But they do listen. You know, they follow through. They don't always keep their rooms clean. But as long as their grades are good and they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You know, school's important. And, you know, they're so busy with their sports and Corey with his music and school and stuff. It's just hard to always, you know, keep them on track as far as household things. But.
Right.
Discipline, we do pretty well, discipline.
Right.
Yeah.
This is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking to the Staggers, man. You know, they're this is not Family Feud, y'all. You know, you know, we're talking about their lives and we're talking about how this family, you know, is you know, look, you know, I think parents are unsung heroes, you know. Sometimes, you know, we get a bad rap, you know, when the kids do real, real good, you know, we get that. But when they go off and do the wrong things or whatever, then, you know, we're wrong, right? You know, even though we might have tried our best at it, right? But this family, you know, has really done some great things with their kids. And, you know, and Carlton, you know, let me ask you this. I mean, philosophically, right? You know, Monique mentioned, you know, that you guys kind of do this co-parenting thing and there's no real one disciplinarian, right? But tell me about your style, right? Your parenting style. Did you get that from... you know, your parents, or you know, or you develop your own style.
The truth, though.
Yes.
Yeah, I got some of it from my mother and father. Like, especially my father's family, like they're a close unit, and they're, you know, they support each other. And the one thing really that makes me, I think makes me a good father or want to do the best I can for my kids is I wasn't a good kid when I was young.
Okay.
I was one of them trouble kids, you know.
Right.
So I don't want my kids to go through what I went through.
Right.
You know, I don't have much, but I try to give them as much as I can.
Right.
You know, like, and everybody like looks at us when they see us, they be like, you know, you're a well-groomed family, y'all wear nice clothes, and you got the best sneakers, and your kids, they was like, you know, how do you do all this? And all our kids did all kind of travel sports. Mm-hmm. So we talking about from Courtney doing the ASA softball to AAU basketball to CJ doing Pop Warner football to Corey and CJ doing Pop Warner football at the same time, and the girls doing AAU basketball. Like, we've been doing travel sports, like, forever.
Right.
And I mean, I told them, you know, and it's funny, I said, you know, my kids are like, you know, when they asked me a long time ago, what do you want? I said, mileage. I want cash for all the mileage that we, because we travel, like, you know, but the thing about it is I enjoy it. And our, honestly, we haven't never really had a family vacation. Our family vacations have been us traveling, going like all these different tournaments and stuff. So when one thing I tell my kids is you should be privileged for what you have, because when we pick up other people's kids who don't have a mother or don't have a father and they don't have the stuff our kids have, they call us mom and dad.
Right.
And they appreciate, you know, what we do, you know. And they was like, I wish we had parents like you guys. And I think our kids realize that, you know, they see the part of that. Like, we try to tell them, like, don't judge people for what they have, because you never know what somebody's going through. Like, you're fortunate to have what you have. And to us, you don't have the best that, you know, we think you should have, but we're doing the best we can for what you got.
Right. So, Mom, you hear these stories, you know, and then, you know, and you see these articles in the paper, and like, the kid was out at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? You know, and you know, so everybody said, what was he doing out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? You know, how do you deal with that? And does this sports thing really help with that?
I'm very strict about time and them being out, and I'm very strict about who they're with and where they're going. I need to know it all. Just like Corey's. Corey is 20 years old now. If Corey tells me where he's going, he texts me and tells me if he's going to be late coming home, you know, especially when he's home. When he's at school, I worry about him. I keep in constant contact with him because I just want to know, because you do hear all these stories on television and in the newspaper, and then you hear things that are happening even in the community where he's at now, in school in Danbury, and I just get worried. But yes, I have constant communication with my kids. I have to. The girls, you know, we give them freedom, a little freedom. They go out to the movies, but I drop them off, I pick them up. Everyone goes, oh, you know, never take time for yourself, you don't do this. My kids didn't ask to be here. They're my priority. Yeah. I didn't have what they have, what we're giving them growing up. You know, I didn't have parents to raise me. My aunt raised me, and I thank God for her, you know. But I try to give to my kids what I never have. So they're very, very important to me, and I put them first. But I have rules, yes, and they say sometimes try to get away with them. But Carl and I are strict, and they know it. And to rephrase what Carl said, they don't wear the best sneakers. They don't wear all the fancy clothes, but they're nice. They're clean. They're dressed well every day. You know, we don't have a lot, but we have a lot of knowledge, you know, a lot of money to give them, but we have a lot of knowledge, and you know, we teach them, you know, as they're growing, to let them know you have to work and earn what you get. Everything doesn't come, you know, freely.
Right. And this, I mean, this issue, you mentioned something very important. Some parents don't know who their kids are hanging out with, right? Like,
right.
They don't know their friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, like, you know, if Corey or any one of your kids says, well, I'm going over so-and-so's house, right? Do you find out who this so-and-so is?
Oh, yeah, that's what I love about Corey. He's not that type of kid that hangs out with just anyone. If he does meet a new friend, or, you know, he'll bring them to me, not all the time, but at some point I get to know this person.
Right.
You know, sometimes their friends text me or call me, ask me how I'm doing and stuff like that. So we have a close, Corey and I are very close.
Right.
So he tells me, he doesn't tell me everything, of course not. But I do know just about, you know, all his friends, because he's grown up with them, most of them, since grammar school. So that's who he's really close with. He's has some college friends now.
right.
that I know as well.
Right.
So I'm pretty positive about them, and I, you know, he knows better, so he right. knows what to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, but that's a standard for
right.
you, right?
Yep.
You know, got to
yep.
know their friends, right?
Of course, I don't like him riding, getting in cars and stuff like that. He does let me know, you know, well, I'm catching a ride with so-and-so back to school, and I know that person 9 times out of 10. I'll know who they are.
Right, right.
You know?
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get Corey on the mic. Bring that mic closer to you, man. Let's bring it over there, right? So everybody's we talking about you, and you're like, you're not here.
I know.
You know, tell me about your life growing up with your mom and dad and with the family. You know, mm-hmm. what's that been like?
See, I gotta think about it.
Wow.
You mean? You got no words for that?
Yeah, I mean, my parents have pushed me a lot throughout my whole life.
Okay.
I mean, the saxophone is taking me very far right now. And when I first started, I really didn't want to play.
Okay.
I wanted to do, like, the drums and just play basketball and baseball and football. That was it. But my mother and father, they pushed me throughout high school, middle school, like, all the way up to college. And then one day I just decided, I was like, you know, I'm going to stop playing the saxophone. And I talked to my mom and dad. They was like, no, you got to keep doing it. They pushed me. Mm. Then I went to a music school in high school, ECA.
Okay.
Yeah, downtown New Haven.
Oh, so wow. So you chose to do that instead of going to a school that you would be able to play sports. So did you go there and play sports?
Well, I went to Hill House half a day.
Okay.
Then ECA the other half of the day.
All right. Oh, I didn't know you could do that. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you can only play one sport.
But you can only play one sport.
Yeah.
Did you play?
I played basketball.
Right. Okay. For Hill House?
Yeah, state champions, class of 2013.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, big ups to that, bro.
Yeah.
Another Hill House. I remember you now. Okay. All right. I know you look familiar. I said, okay, now this guy with the sax, okay, I seen him before. All right. So, wow. Okay. So, man, how do you blend playing ball with, like, music? You know, that's pretty deep, man.
I don't know. It was just a lot of work. Because I had to run back and forth from downtown back to Hill House, then back downtown for concerts. I had to miss some games for concerts and stuff like that.
How did you get introduced to the soprano sax?
Soprano. I mean, I played the alto second
okay.
grade.
All right. Oh, okay.
I picked up the soprano last year, and then I started playing. I've been playing soprano for a year now. And I started uploading, like, videos on, like, Twitter and Instagram,
mm-hmm.
all social media, and then it just blew up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we just played your record, you know, and so, like, now you said you were playing since to what age? When did you first start playing?
I started in second grade.
In the second grade?
Yeah. I'm a junior now in high school, in college.
How did that happen? I mean, you know, how did that happen? I mean, it's like, you know, was it hanging around? I mean,
oh, no, no.
Tell me how that happened.
Because at Davis Street Magnet School,
okay,
you had to play at least one instrument in the band.
Really?
And
okay.
The guy, Mr. Fluker,
okay,
the band director,
yes,
he's the one that taught me how to play the sax.
Right.
And then I've just been playing ever since.
Wow.
I wanted to stop, but it was mandatory to play the instrument, so I had to keep playing.
Yeah. Mandatory miles and days, miles and miles. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. So let me ask you this question. You know, because you know you're pretty much influenced, you know, by jazz to some degree. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I noticed that. But you also, like, you know, the piece we just heard is, you know, is popular music, right?
Yes.
You know, what are your influences musically? Like, you know, what do you listen to, and what have you been listening to mm-hmm. all your life that now that you got this instrument that you want to put out your own stuff, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about your influences.
I listen to a lot of jazz.
Okay.
I didn't listen to too much hip-hop growing up.
Really? Okay.
Because I was always in jazz band, so I listened to a lot of, like, John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong.
Miles Davis.
Yeah. Okay. All the jazz cats.
So what about, as far as what your instrument, you know, who's the guy that you kind of look at, you know, in terms of, like, one day I want to be like this guy?
Well, I listen to a lot of Dale Reeves.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And, like, Marcus Anderson they're all from, like, down south.
Okay.
Couple people from, like, the New York area.
Explain to me how has hip hop influenced you, though? I mean, I'm quite sure you listen to it, right?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of all the new hip hop, okay. But I also do a lot of old school jams, like like Luther Vandross and SWV.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, your friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
They must think that, you know, where's this guy come from, Mars or something, right?
I mean, my roommates, they probably push me the most right now.
Really?
Besides my parents, yeah.
Okay.
If I'm not making a video, they're like, what are you doing right now?
Right.
Like, you got to go downstairs, take your instrument out, go record something instead of laying in the bed on a phone doing nothing.
Are you playing ball down there?
Oh, no, just...
You're not.
School.
Okay, yeah. So what made you decide to give it up, man?
Well, freshman year, I had tried out for the basketball team. But then the schedule, I had 13 classes.
Wow.
Between music and gen eds, like English and writing and stuff. So I couldn't balance it out.
Now, that's interesting because, you know, most young men today would have chose playing some ball.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why. Why did you decide that?
Because I knew my talent was saxophone. And it was different. And you can play it, like, longer than basketball. Because basketball, you only could play it for a couple of years. And then you could get hurt or something. And then your career could be over.
Right.
But with an instrument, you could play your whole life.
Do you write music?
Yep.
You do?
I write music, read music, too. Yep.
And you read? Boy, that's fantastic, man. So, where do you see yourself, like, 10 years from now? You know, what does that look like for you?
10 years from now, I see myself on a stage picking up a Grammy.
There you go.
Well, that's my goal.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, you're going to go back to your parents now, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, but you kind of drew a blank there a little earlier. You know, how did they influence you?
Because they just forced me. Even if I don't want to do it, they're like, yeah, you got to keep playing the saxophone. And then it all worked out because now I still am and big things are coming.
Mm-hmm. You had to be confronted with a lot of situations while you were growing up, especially right here in New Haven, right? You know, you had to be confronted with situations where you had to make some decisions about either I'm going to go left or I'm going to go right, right? You know, what was that little voice that you heard in your mind that made you decide to do what, to go in the other direction, to do the positive thing? What was that voice that you heard? Whose voice was that up there?
My parents.
Hmm.
Everything they told me, I just kept thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, we got to get out of here. All the stuff that goes down in New Haven. I mean, I want to represent New Haven.
Yes.
And put New Haven on the map, but I do still want to get out of New Haven.
Right. This is Juan Castillo. I'm speaking with Corey Staggers. You heard his record, you know, before the show started, and you see how much talent he has. You know, we got his mom and dad here, Carlton Staggers and Monique Staggers, and we're talking about, you know, the life of a family here in the city of New Haven. And, you know, so often, you know, the media talks about all the negative things that happen in our community, and I'm quite sure that all of you out there are very inspired by this family. You know, this is the good of what New Haven is all about. So I want to go back to you with the college, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you major in it?
I major right now in jazz studies and music.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's it, right?
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, that's a beautiful thing, man. Let me go back to Dad. Okay. Tell me about him. Tell me about how you see him. You watched him grow up, right? Talk about it.
See, the mom's mad because
yeah,
you know.
Mom's gonna get it. Well, you know what? I'm gonna let mom answer. Mom, tell me about him.
Corey's always been a busy kid.
Yeah.
Always, all his life. He loves every sport, and he can play just about every sport. His best sport is baseball. To me,
was.
But, yeah, he's played football. He's done basketball. Basketball wasn't his best, but I give Corey a lot of credit. He hung in there when he felt like giving up. He was still part of the team. He made himself part of the team, even though he didn't get much playing time. But he hung in there, and he did the best that he could do.
Right.
But I told Corey, I kept telling Corey, your talent is in the saxophone. Mm. You know, it shows. Every time you play, you know, you draw people. You know, your music, even when he makes up his little songs and stuff, he's just excellent. He can play just by ear. He can hear something in a few minutes, and he has the song down pat, plays it all. And he's just a well-rounded kid. He, you know, everyone that comes and meets him or runs into him, they can call me. I just seen your son. Oh, my God, I love Corey. He's so sweet. He greeted me with a hug and a kiss. You know, you just have good kids. And I'm not bragging about my kids. They're just good kids. You know, when you have good kids, you got to give them credit. Even my stepkids. I love my stepkids, Courtney and CJ.
Yes.
They're a big help to us. They're a big brother and sister. We need them. They come right through. You know, they'll come pick them up when they can't. They aren't working, do anything. CJ is the best big brother you can have. Mm. Yeah, but Corey, they all get along well.
Mm-hmm. What was that moment when you finally, because, you know, he's in college right now, so, you know, This is a hard question I'm going to ask you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when did you realize that he's turning into a man? What was it?
I realized that when he brought a girl home for the first time. I heard he had a girlfriend his second year of college. And I'm like, are you serious? Corey has a girlfriend? You know, I look at Corey, that's my man. You know, Corey hangs with me, goes shopping with me. You know, he makes time for his friends, but this is my man right here. He's my son. I love him to death, but,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes.
And then he comes home, she's a beautiful girl. Well, I'm like, okay, so who is she, Corey? And, you know, he introduced her and everything. So I'm like, wow, my son is really growing up, you know, a girlfriend. So that's when I realized I got to stop. I, you know, I had to let him go a little, like let him find his way. And, you know, this year I really let go, let him do his thing, like try to find his way through schoolwork, everything on his own. And that's what he's been doing. He's grown up so much musically, mentally, everything. You know, he's really into studies, doing what he's supposed to be doing. So I think he's really matured over the past 2 years.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Carlton, you know, so often, you know, even myself, you know, growing up, right, you know, you got the guys, you know, you got the uncles and you got the guys on, you know, on the corner and your friends, and they talk about, you know, like, yeah, you're young, you need to, you know, you need to sow your oats, you know, and, you know, you need to have a couple of girlfriends, you know, that's the message that we got, you remember, right? You know, and as we all find out, right, that, and I talk about this all the time, and I like to repeat it, right, it's like, as African Americans, we cannot build wealth unless we stay together. Man and woman, husband and wife, we stay together because, you know, every time you break up, you lose something. You lose a house, you lose the car, you lose that CD collection, half of it, right? You lose something, right? And so now, you know, you all stay together, right? So this, the example that you've given to your kids, especially your male, your sons, right? You know, talk about what that means, and, you know, how do you raise a black son to teach him about what it is to be a black man in America?
Well, one thing I try to do is I think they see it because there's been, like, I'm a man of many hats. Like, besides the fact I'm an alderman, I had my own AAU program for girls, serving over 1,000 girls. And I did it with Corey, with the boys. I coached the boys and traveled with boys that didn't have their fathers around. But I always had my, you know, son's back as far as anything. And then working one job and then picking up another part-time job here and there just to do things. It's hard, but I try to lead by example.
Okay.
You know, like, even like one thing about me, and it's crazy when people hear this and see this, but I was always like, I was raised going to church on Sundays. Mm. And that was one thing that was big, and, you know, when I was raising up, like, no matter what you did during the week or what you did during the 6 days, that one day you always got to go to church and thank God, you know, for what you have.
Religion important to you.
Yes, and I believe, you know, I'm a firm believer of that. So, you know, even though, and it's funny because we talked about this in, with a men's group that we had a couple of weeks ago, is things are not the same like they used to. Like, we made our children, you know, we was made to go to church. You know, like, no matter what you did, our parents woke us up, get up, go to church. You ain't got no choice. Even though we didn't want to do it, we hated going in, and we sat there and pouted and got popped up the head because we were doing this. We don't do that now. But the
well, you know, we want to watch the game, and you know, we got the pre-game at NFL at 12 o'clock. We still sitting in church. Well, yeah. And it's 1:30.
That's why they got 7:30 service now.
All right, go ahead. I just had to go ahead.
But you know, especially with both my sons, it's like they know for a fact I spoil the girls. Those you know, they know I'll do all everything for them. But the boys, I try to make it where I do stuff for them, but I don't do too much because my thing is, as boys, they're going to challenge us. And Corey has challenged me and CJ has challenged me. Where it's like, okay, you know, I'll show you, but, you know, who comes to the rescue? Mom. You know, and but they eventually come back like, Dad, like, this is why I do this. Like, this is, you know, I want you to see this. Like, the thing I'm trying to show them as an example is, you know, not now, but if they do have kids in the near future, like, that's your number one priority.
Right.
Like, no matter what, you know, like, with Courtney and CJ, like, you know, they're by another woman. But, you know, I thank God for my wife. Like, she supported me 100% with them, and they're still, like, we're real close. But the one thing I said, no matter what happened to any of us, like, me, my wife, my kid's mother, and their stepfather, we want you guys to make sure that y'all keep each other close. Like, you're all you have. No matter what anybody or your friends out there do or anything, you're brothers and sisters, and you have to support each other. Like, stay together, support each other. Like, if there's any other problem, like, is there sometimes I can't talk to Corey about something? I'll go to Courtney and CJ and be like, yo, you need to call your brother because I'm going to kill him. Like, you need to call him. And they'd be like, what do you do, Dad? And like, could you just call him? Because right now I'm like, I can't. And they'll call and be like, you know, but they're supportive like that.
Right.
Like, even like today, it's important, you know, want to talk to Corey and everything. CJ, I said, CJ, I have to work. You know, what are you doing? I'm not working. Could you please go get him? I got you, Dad.
Right.
So, I mean, they have their times. They'd be like, oh, I don't feel like doing this and everything else. But, you know, but that's the unit I want them to show. Like, you know, family is important.
How long you been married?
I think 28 years. 28,
27. We always get in trouble. We always get in trouble. I can't edit that. I should have. I wish I had a video so I can show her face. You know. Yeah. I think 32 for me. I hope so. you know. But that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, I want to thank you for coming. Okay. You know, I'm going to be paying attention to you, Corey, because, you know, I got a vested interest because I want the music, brother, you know, but, and you know, we have a smooth jazz show on Sundays, you know, so, yep. You know, we're going to be looking at playing the song, right. You know, so, that's a beautiful thing, you know, but before you guys leave, you know, I just want to you know, go around, you know, the room a little bit, you know, with that, you know, with just one question. It's like, I'm going to start off with you, Corey, you know, mm-hmm. like, can you think of like something that advice that, you know, you got from your mom or your dad that is really important to you?
Mm-hmm. My mom and dad always told me, no matter what or what I do, always stay in school first before I do anything else, mm-hmm. between music and everything else. 'Cause no matter what, anything could happen. Like, outside, you know what I mean? Like, how can I say it?
Those things that come into your life that
reality will hit.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. That's great, man. Carlton, best advice you ever got?
This is like a long time ago, and this is I got a friend that I grew up with. He's like my older brother, and I was going through some things. And he came and got me, him and another guy, Dennis Nixon and Joe Thomas. And I'll never forget, they was giving me advice. But the one thing Dennis said is, the best advice is your own advice. Mm.
Look within.
So they can tell me whatever they want to, but it's up to me to decide what I'm going to do.
Monique, you know, you were raised by your aunt, you said, right?
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, my mom passed when I was 12 years old.
Wow. So I'm quite sure she gave you a couple of good ones.
My aunt was very, very strict. Very. Mm. And she always preached about education. Like, we couldn't do anything if we didn't have good grades. She was a firm believer in education and religion. Like Carlton said, she made us get up every Saturday because we were Seventh-day Adventists back then. Mm-hmm. And she made us get up and go to church and come home, and we just, you know, practiced the Sabbath. And then after that, we were on our own. But she's a firm believer in, you know, chores and school and, you know, just the normal ways of life. That's what she considered it, you know. She's sort of like a sergeant. But you know what? Today I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because she taught me that you have to be stern. You have to, you know, set your goals as well. And you have to believe in yourself that you can do it. You know, because there's a lot of times all like, this is too hard. I can't do this or whatever. She was like, put all that aside. You know, think about where you want to be in the future. Get those grades right, you know. Put God first. You pray on it. You do what you're supposed to do. You're going to get there. So to this day, I she's in the back of my mind. But, you know, I listen to her. All. She's still here.
Yes.
Thank God. I love my aunt to death. But
yes.
I thank her, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank all of you all for coming. You know, I've been inspired, you know, and I hope the rest of the community has been also. I'm quite sure they have. We have to promote good family values and, you know, and to really, you know, work with our kids. We need to stay together, you know, as a family. We need to stay together as a couple, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you know, we got to bring it back. You know what I mean? You know, when we were growing up, you know, it wasn't unusual that your parents been together for 40 years. Mm-hmm. You know, today, a lot of that is not the case, you know.
We're not the perfect family. I don't want everyone to look at us, the staggers. So we're not perfect by any means.
Of course.
But we do come together, and we try hard. We try hard to keep it together for our kids.
Yes.
And we try hard to, you know, lay out the foundation and let them see, you know, how we're trying to do it. And so even if we're not doing it right or we're trying to do it right, they can look and say, I'm going to find a better way or come up with a better solution. But we have to pave that way to make sure our kids can get to where, you know, so they can see, so they can work their way to get to where they want to be in life. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And the one thing about our kids is we're open with them. Like, we have open conversations. Like, we have them conversations. You smoke weed? You drink?
Yeah, right.
Like, it's just like yeah. Yeah. Like, Dad, are you serious? Like, are you having sex?
That's a good thing.
So,
that's a good thing. Right. Absolutely.
You have to be open. Have to.
But I want to thank you for coming. Absolutely. You know, and please come back, bro, with another song. All right? You know, you could always use some good songs around here. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that, you know, you're keeping, you know, the African-American art form. That's the only American art form that was born out of the United States alive.
Jazz.
Exactly.
Yep.
Extremely important. Juan Castillo with you. I know you've been inspired. I have. You know, we will see you next week. This has been The Electric Drum.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.